Good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'd like to welcome each and all of you to today's worship service in the 8th month of the year of our Lord 2019. What a blessing to be a part of the 8th month of 2019. Give God the glory. Let me say it as usual that we had a wonderful time this morning with Frank Sunday, and for those of you who were not there, and we want to say happy birthdays and happy anniversaries to those of you concerned. Oh, thank you. But I sang happy birthday to myself, so thank you. So we have announcements on the, as inserts in the bulletins, as well as on the screens. Please take note of those announcements. I have one here that I would like to, not actually one, but a few that I would like to lift up. The first one is, I'd like us to pause for a moment of silent prayer this morning. Our country, the world, is really, really in serious situation. And that has to be with, to do with the chaos and war and madness of people that's going around. It was just this morning, I was looking at the news, and I can, in less than 2 weeks, again, we have a mass shooting where 9 people are dead and 26 wounded in Dayton, Ohio. I think it's something that needs to call the churches and every person's attention. We need to be praying for our country. We need to be praying for the world. We should be more prayerful that God will intervene in these kinds of situations and behaviors of people. So we have a moment of silent prayer for these people. Thank you, Lord. You are still on the throne no matter what. You are God. We pray for your word. We pray for our country, our towns, villages, and cities. We commit into your hands. We pray for the people of Dayton, Ohio. As they wake up this morning to the tragedy of 9 members of that community being killed and 26 seriously wounded, grant them peace of mind. Grant them healing. May those who lost their lives, may their souls rest in perfect peace with you. Forgive us. In Jesus' name. Amen. For more announcements, I want to draw your attention to the upcoming events. One major event that I thought I needed to lift up this morning is the Jabez Project is going to be celebrating its 6th anniversary, 6th graduation anniversary. So I don't know how many of you, it's in your bulletin, just take a look at it. There's an invitation there that on the 17th of this month in Madison at Sherman Avenue United Methodist Church, we will be gathering there to celebrate this wonderful ministry of which we've all been a part one way or another. They just got through with, they just closed with 197 students this year again. So your prayers, your gifts, and impacting lives, the life of people that you may not, some of you may not be able to see or meet anytime in your life, but God's name has been glorified. Jesus has been lifted because of what you are doing, and because of who you are. This morning, right after our announcement, we're going to be receiving a new member into our midst. He's not new here, but he's new as a full member of this church. In fact, this person has been working with us, especially with our youth and young adults, helping them with their foundation in their faith, teaching them. We don't pay him anything. He's a volunteer. He's been doing this since Amanda left the coordinator program and the kids were all on their own. So we will do that before we can continue with our worship service this morning. I'd like to again let you know that we have employed a new person to fill that position of the coordinator for Family Education and Nurture Program. This person is going to be introduced formally to the congregation next Sunday. Okay. With that, how about we do as we've always done when we gather? Would you turn to the person next to you and just reassure them that Jesus loved them, so do you. Come forward as we go through this brief ceremony with him. This is the, I'm not going to go through the entire process. The reason we make it brief is this man is, in fact, you know, much more about the Christian faith rather than I do. He's a teacher, a professor in biblical studies, so I'm not going to start asking him whether he's a Christian or not. It's just, so we just go with the reception into the local United Methodist congregation. Yeah, right. All right. Could we have the mic, please? Sorry about that.
There you go.
All right. Do what you said before.
Oh, yeah. He wants me to repeat. I fully endorse enthusiastically the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed, so there's no doubt that I hold orthodox views.
Good man. So here we go. Brother Jonathan, did I say Blusher?
Blocker.
Blocker?
Yeah.
Okay, Blocker. As a member of Recent First United Methodist Congregation, would you faithfully participate in its ministry and mission of gathering, equipping, and serving with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service,
and your witness.
I will.
All right. To our congregation, members of this household of God, I now commend Brother Jonathan Locker to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in Christian love. Jonathan, the God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Amen. Welcome. Let us meet together in our centering prayer. We purse to rest in you. Quiet our wandering hearts and spirits, that they may find peace and tranquility as you have gathered us to worship you. Light, room, and as a good shepherd, guide and feed us your word. Amen. Would you please join me in the call to worship? God, our shelter, thank you for standing that you are able. Those who dwell in the shelter of the Most High, I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. If you will remain standing and sing the hymn, Gather Us In.
You may be seated, please. Please join me in the opening prayer. Almighty and merciful God, you have called and gathered us to be your community of believers. As a community of faith, we see ourselves on the journey to reach out and invite those who do not know you unto your saving knowledge and grace. Gracious God, in our desire to do your will, help us grow stronger in our love and faith. Most importantly, help us be mindful of your presence, for it is your strength and love and grace giving us that able to reach out and effectively share the good news of your salvation with others in our community. This is our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our chief shepherd. Amen. Sunday is when we take the Holy Communion, and so today we do exactly that. You will see a change in how we present the element of bread, especially so, instead of having the loaf, we have cut them into pieces, and then you can just pick one. Easy to do. You don't have to, you know, grab and cut anymore. You just take a piece and then dip, and that should be fine. Is that not so? So what we're going to be doing, I don't know how many ushers we have this morning. If we have one, then we'll have one station. If we have two, that will even be at four, then that would be just fine. Otherwise, we will have one station right here, and we will take our communion. Please join me. Our Lord invites to his table all who loved him and are truly sorry for their sin. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Let us now prepare our hearts for Christ's compassionate love to flow in us, so that through us the world might experience the transforming power of Jesus' redemptive work demonstrated on the cross for our sake. On the night before his betrayal and trial, Jesus shared one last meal with his disciples. What could he do to empower them to continue on his redemptive work when he was gone back to heaven? Jesus loved his followers, and his heart went out to them. He took a bread, said a prayer to heaven, broke it, and gave it to his friends, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you." After a while, Jesus took a cup of grape juice, said a prayer to heaven, gave it to his friends, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many." He instructed them to remember him whenever they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Body of Christ broken for you. Christ blood shed for you and for many. And the table is now set. You may come forward and commune.
Taste and see. Yeah.
Would you please join me in the post-communion prayer? Generous God, you are the creator and sustainer of all life. You provide us with both physical and spiritual food to nourish our bodies and our spirit. We are especially thankful for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your spirit to give ourselves for others. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thank you.
Today's scripture comes from Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Be a hard one for me today. I went to visit Lori, who has been my friend for years, and someone who stood by my side and sung with me. I hear her harmonies in my ears when I sing, and she's not here. Mom and I went to see her yesterday, or on Friday, and she is very, very unwell. She has a brain tumor. They started chemo, and when they started chemo, it started causing a bleed on her brain and blood clots in her brain, so they stopped. She's somewhat non-responsive. She opens her eyes, and I don't know what God's plan is for her, but I don't believe she's going to be with us very long, and that just breaks my heart. It's been such a joy to be her friend and sing with her for so long. I'd just like all of you to pray for her, for peace for her family, and for just peace in general. I don't believe she'll be with us very much longer, and that breaks my heart. The song we're going to do this morning has kind of a funny story to it. Dennis brought it to us one day in rehearsal, and Lori and I looked at each other and went, we ain't singing that, because we don't like it. And it has become one of our, Lori and ours, favorite, my favorite song. So I thought it was a fitting tribute to her this morning that we do this one for you. It'll sound familiar. But I love you, my friend, and I will cherish every time we got to sing together. And maybe someday we'll be back singing together again.
upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. And I will call upon your name, and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine. Oh, 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 oh. Your grace abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. When oceans rise and fear surrounds me, you've never failed, and you won't stop now. And I will call upon your name, keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine. Oh, let me walk upon the waters, wherever you will call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Trust is without borders. Let me walk upon those waters, wherever you will call me. And take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. Your name, and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you.
Thank you, Jean. Thank you. This is the gospel reading this morning. I'd like to invite us to take a look at it and probably read together. I'm going to be doing the louder reading. You can read to yourselves. That's usually. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault. When the two of you are alone, if the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And the offender refuses, and if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bound on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. This is the word of God for the people of God. And may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Savior, our strength. I'd like to make a little quick reference to the work of our discernment team, and I will invite us to take a look at that. Jean, do you have that slide? You want to just bring that up? This is the simplified version of our mission, our vision, and mission statement. I just took out resume first, but our vision is to inspire others to live faithfully in Jesus Christ. And our mission statement says, we are here to gather, to equip, and to serve. Thank you. This is in line with our message today, especially the theme of our message, the gathering you should never, you can complete the dot dot. But I would say the gathering you should never abandon. The gathering you should never neglect. And that might sound like my words, but definitely they are not my words. They are the words of the one that you and myself believe in, that we claim to be his followers. They are the words according to those that were inspired to write what we have today called the Bible, which is so much now in conflict in terms of its authority with the very Christians, but for most of us is the authority of our faith in terms of practice and how we live it. So those are the words from there. The gathering you should never neglect is the word that we find in Hebrews. Of course, when August read Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 20, verse 19 through 25, I guess the 24th verse is where you will find that. Let us now consider we should not neglect, that's the last verse it says here, not neglecting. Let us consider how to provoke or stir up one another to love and goodness, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. But I'm going to go back to the words of Matthew. And I'm going back to Matthew because it's important for us to know the composition of this gathering. This gathering is important, and the importance of this gathering, in fact, goes as far as our creation, as far as I'm concerned. It has always been God's desire to bring God's people together. It's never been a time, as far as I know, that God will say, I don't want to see my people together, unless under some extreme circumstances, such as will provoke our very selves, not God's, to say, I'm going away from God. Otherwise, God has always desired that He bring us together. The people are together. In fact, if I will do my own a little exegesis here, and I can say it from the date of creation, when God said, let us make human being. This was a form of gathering. Let's make, bring together, put together. That is in Genesis. Just go to the second chapter of Genesis, the creation story. So gathering has always been God's desire. And then in Matthew, you find out that Matthew is talking about what this gathering will look like. Was it God's desire for the gathering to be like that? In the 18th chapter that we read, it doesn't give a very good picture of what this gathering will look like. The opening hymn that we sang talked about gather us in. And you know the composition of that gathering. The weak, the strong, the lean, the everything that you can think about is within that gathering. And I'm not surprised, because the truth of the matter and the realities with which the church lives is that what we call the church is not a composition of sins, but of course, redeemed sinners. And then when we gather together as the people of God, something happens in that gathering. It becomes a little bit kind of unique compared to other gatherings that we have, probably that we belong to, that we have seen or we've been a part of. This gathering that we are talking about is the gathering that does not or should not pick and choose. That's the unique part about it. Does it mean that you're not going to have differences? Oh, no. So that even in the midst of the differences, you might have differences in various ways. Maybe I don't like you because of who you are. I don't like you because of your color. I don't like you because of your accent. I don't like you because of the way you talk. I don't like you because of the way you approach issues. I don't like you because you are just ugly. I just don't like to see you. But this gathering that we are talking about here, that in fact has its basis in the very one that we claim to follow, is irrespective of any of those things, of any of those things that we may think about that would cause us to get away from this or to stay away from this gathering. Why? Because in this gathering, compared to other gatherings, Hebrews help us to see the reason why we should not neglect. When we come together as a people known as believers. I'm talking about Christian gathering. When Christians gather together, they come together as people who what? Believe. People of faith. And another thing that I know about the community of faith that is formed when Christians come together is the fact that what you gather from this gathering, the coming together of a branch of us together, normally if you were to say, if Jake's vocal were to say, you know, I just don't want to be a part of that gathering. And I'm not talking about a specific one here. I'm not talking about Racine First. I'm not talking about North Point. I'm not talking about Faybridge. I'm not talking about the Episcopal Church. I'm talking about the Church of Jesus Christ. When we come together as the Church of Jesus Christ, what happens is there is a huge difference. So that even when, as denominations, we can come together as Methodists, we can come together as Lutheran, we can come together as Episcopalian, Catholics. When we gather together, despite our denominational labors, there's one thing that brings us together, is we are the Church of Jesus Christ. We are the community of faith. And I'm speaking of the community, the universal community of faith. And whatever happens within that core group, canon, come down to whichever denomination we belong to. So whatever these denominations, whatever these congregations that make up those denominations, whatever their practices, it should be able to reflect the universal church's nature. That's what I'm talking about. When the church gathers, when the people of God gather, they gather in faith. And this faith cannot be formed better outside of a community. I don't know about you, but I think that I grow much more. I have come to grow in my faith. I might not be the best person to be an example, but I've come to know that there are people that I can count on. And some of these people probably are in the pews. Some of these people probably are in other churches. Some of these people, the one thing that brings us together is we are a community of faith. And so when we gather to do something specific. And that specific thing is that which the writer of Hebrews text kind of lift up here. We are here, we come together, we are gathered to provoke one another to love and good deeds. Because those are the very nature. Those are the very nature of the one whom we claim to be his followers. And so faith is well nourished when believers get together, when they pray together. There's something wonderful that happens. I like the last portion of the gospel reading this morning. The writer, having talked about, you know, all of the wrangling that's going to be in that group at some point, he now comes down to give us the assurance that where one or two people gather and pray together and ask the Father, the Creator, anything, not some, but anything, he listens. He listens to them. Of course, then he goes on to say in the last portion, he says here, again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father. For where two or three I gather, I am with them. So this is the unique thing about the gathering that you should never neglect. The good news is, no matter what that group is, large or small, as long as you gather in the name of Jesus, he's with you. That's the assurance. And as long as Jesus is with you, there are a number of things that can happen. There are numbers of things, including what I would call the encouragement. People who love and are delighted in doing good deeds, what they do is they encourage, right? They encourage each other. So that if anyone is discouraged, there will be someone. Maybe this person might not be a physical person, but even the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, would be in that group to console us. If that is not enough, what happens is wherever we are falling short on our journey, whatever the obstacles might be, whatever the mountains of life, the challenges of life might be, you are not alone on that journey. Now, this is why it's important for us to not neglect the gathering. Well, I think Hebrew has a little more than what I'm just talking about here. What, in fact, Hebrew has is when the community of faith gathers and begin to worship and begin to maybe celebrate, fellowship, whatever the purpose for which you are gathered as a community of faith. The purpose is for us to strengthen each other because there is a need for us to be prepared as the time approaches. We all look forward to the time when Christ is going to come. We all look forward to the time when you and I will stand before God's gracious throne and we will be expecting to hear him say to us, like I remember I asked the same question here from someone whom I read, and it was very touching to me. He says, what if you were to stand before the heaven's gate and God were to ask you, why should I allow you into my heaven? And I thought the honest, sincere answer would be, because Jesus paid it all for me. Because Christ has paid it all. He's purchased this place for me. That's why I'm here. And if this is true, and you have that faith needs to grow. And when that faith doesn't grow in isolation of the community. You can't be a Christian. I mean, you can be a pious Christian, fine. You can be the most righteous Christian, fine. You can have a faith that will move mountains. But I hope you're looking at something here. What you want to look at is faith is abstract, and the only thing that makes faith worthy is what your faith is leading in you into being and doing. And it is within the community of faith that, in fact, you get to know how far you are on your faith journey. So I can say, I am so pious, I don't want to mingle with other people who are, I don't think they are good Christians. I don't think they are in fact, they are worthy of being called whom they claim to be. Well, I don't know how that kind of faith can be experienced. I don't know what kind of a fruit that faith will be shown. In other words, what I'm saying here is that if my faith is so strong, if I'm so well-grounded in my faith, and I know that I have a very good interpersonal relationship, this intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, that's wonderful. I can do that all by myself. But that relationship should enable me, should help me to reach out to those who have not probably reached that level that I am. Because keeping it to myself would be of no use. You can't keep it to yourself and claim that you are doing well. You're not doing well. Something is radically wrong with you. If you keep yourself away because you are so holy, the holy of the holies, and you cannot allow that holiness to touch the lives of someone that is next to you, something is wrong. That's what this gathering is about. So that the weak, those who are weak in their faith, those who are dragging, Paul says, those of us who are strong should be able to what? Help the weak brother or sister. And that's the reason why every time we sat down to think about what could be the mission of our church, we said probably gathering would be the best thing. Because in this gathering, we envision bringing every person, no matter who they are, in our community. No matter who they are. And that's our goal. That's our prayers. I want us to just prepare ourselves for that, because I know God is going to begin to do a new thing in this church. We will be inviting people in this church that we pray that God will lead us to. That's our prayer. You're going to have two pastors here. I'm not going to be alone. This person is not appointed, but he's a pastor. And our goal would be to reach out. See? I know all of us prayers have been to fill these pews, which is a good thing, a good thought. So we say, okay, so what do we do? We need to develop the idea of gathering people, no matter who they are, open our doors to them, let them come in. And those of us who are so faithful, who are so strong in our faith, can help transform, touch and transform their lives. So we make our mission very simple. Our vision is to inspire. Our mission is to gather, is to equip, is to serve. And so the next three Sundays, I'm going to be talking about these three mission goals that we have set. And we just wanted us to begin this morning with gathering. It's God's desire for us to gather people. It's God's desire for us to be together. It's God's desire for us to grow together. It's God's desire for us to encourage each other. It's God's desire for us to reach out to each other. It's God's desire. Of course, Jesus told a story that if the power that be at the time that told his disciples to keep quiet, he said, even if they were to keep quiet, the stones will rise to praise God. It's God's desire to gather people. And I want us to be in the same boat together, in the same frame of mind, to know that it's important for us to gather. And when we gather, we are here for a specific purpose, to grow in our faith together, to be active in our faith and in our deeds. Let's go forth praying that God can help us to be Christians whose desire is to gather, not to scatter. That's my prayer. I don't know what your prayer is, that we can gather and not to scatter. That's what Jesus did as the good shepherd. He's giving us the task to do the same, to be the same gatherer. Amen. Time for us to be together in prayer, and I would like to lift up some special cases for us to pray about. I'd like us to pray for those of our sisters, probably some brothers too, who have been struggling with health issues. Specifically, I don't know how many of you have heard, June Noodle was involved in an accident, and June is at the hospital. And then this, in addition to that, she had a blackout that was the cause of the accident, but she's fine. The accident didn't do any much damage to her or hurt her. But then they found out that she's also having some tumor issue in her brain. So she's at the hospital. And not only that, but their son Scott is also in the hospital in Chicago. He had a surgery, a 2-hour surgery on Friday. Let's pray for these people. You heard about Laurie. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for Linda. All of these people are wonderful people who would like to be among us here. But life is a struggle. Life is a struggle. Let's remember to pray for them. Let's pray for the people in Dayton, Ohio, who are mourning unexpectedly. 1 a.m. in the morning, somebody, some kind of crazy person, just took a gun and went to the entertainment center and started shooting people. 1 a.m. in the morning. So, that's the kind of world we live in. Christians need to pray. God's will to be done. Let's pray for one another. In the midst of all of that, there's still good things to celebrate. We can celebrate life. we are still here. And God is still in charge. He's in control. We can count on Him. He's able to change our situations. Let us pray. Thank you, dear God. Thank you for Jesus, the one you sent who clearly demonstrated his love for us, so that while we were far away because of our sins, he gave his life. The righteous man gave his life for the unrighteous people. What a love. We thank you, Lord. This morning, we lift our hearts as we unite our prayers for our brothers and sisters, especially so for John Luther, Scott, for Lori, for Linda, and all of the other people, Lord, who need you more than they ever. If they ever dare to, Lord, this is the time that we want you to reach out to them. Grant them the needed strength. Grant them the healing that they need, because Jesus, you are the great physician who never lose a patient. So we come together based on your promise, faithful promise, that whatever we agree on, Lord, it will be granted. We as a congregation do agree, Lord, that healing be granted to all of these people, that they will come stand here and give a testimony. Thank you for the world we live in. We pray for the unexpected that happened, some of which are not pleasant. We pray for the victims and the survivors of the Dayton shooting. Be there, console, heal. Lord, we intend to bring additional flock into this sheepfold. We lift ourselves to you for your guidance, for your strength, for your leading. We'll be leaving from here to go into the world. Whatever part of the world we will be, we depend on your Spirit to lead us, to protect us, to guide us, to defend. Help us to be the light you've called us to be. Give us the faith we need to inspire others to live faithfully for you. Thank you for our time together. We ask all of this through Christ Jesus, our Lord, who taught us whenever we pray, we conclude with these words of prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom. We have a song that we borrow, so you don't see any hymn number.
I'm sorry, Ricky wanted to make another prayer request. I think he was going to say, pray for Ricky Castro, Ron Tremling, and I as we go off to Christian Disciple Farm this week.
Okay, thank you. We certainly will. Thank you. Another thing that we want to lift up here before we sing our closing hymn is Jonathan has
volunteer to help us with our pictorial director. So if we can have him to those of you, he will be doing that beginning next week. It's in your bulletin next week, Sunday. He will be taking pictures here. If you can come ready to take your church picture, that would be wonderful. All right. Let's stand for a closing hymn. That's the nature of our gathering, to bring in the sheep together. And so as we leave and go into the world, which is our mission field, let us remember we are there to bring in the sheep. Bring in other flocks that are supposed to be members into this sheepfold. So go in peace. And may the peace of God, which passes our understanding, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, abides and remains with each of us, now and always, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Have a safe journey. Okay. I will. Yes, I definitely will. Yes, sure. I will be around there, so I just drive in.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Now, who's this lady? We want the lady to come. Who's the lady you're talking about? Yeah, she needs to bring her bills. so that we can take a look at it. Okay, so she needs to bring us the bill. That's what we do. If you help, we need something that will back what we do. So she needs to bring the bill. Yeah. Thank you.
That story.
Thank you.